ser como el agua, saber ser gota y océano, que viste al cielo de nubes y se hace charco en el suelo. Yo quiero ser como el aire, saber ser brisa y tornado, ser aire limpio de mañana, de tarde azul y anaranjado, que vuela en ese perfume de jazmín y el suspiro enamorado, emprende viajes sin rumbo y es quietud de verano. Busca, cambia y vuelve a nacer. Todo bajo el sol se transforma. Al olvidar encontré que lo que soy es ahora. Yo quiero ser como el fuego, no tiene miedo a forma en luz la hoja seca y alumbra aún sin saber. Yo quiero ser como la tierra, sostiene sin preguntar al más soberbio ser humano y al pez más chico del mar, que es pico de una montaña negra.
Essa mulher é complicada, pá. Oh, yeah, lá. Hey there, you're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. You just heard Ana Luz Eora and Casimir and Hussey with Hoyala. Hoyala. I'm your Tuesday 1 p.m. host, Ryan Funk. Happy New Year, and thanks for tuning in. I'm a fun facts kind of guy, and a great website for that is history.com. They have a section called This Day in History. Okay, so on January 11th, 1964, the U.S. Surgeon General announced a definitive link between smoking and cancer. The link had long been suspected, and medical studies raised serious concerns about this were released back in the 1940s. Of course, you know, the tobacco industry lobbied hard to the government to keep smoking legal, because, I mean, of course they did. That was a significant change, and we're seeing changes all the time in our society and communities. Maybe you want to make a change. Volunteer Manitoba has the program just for you. Let's check it out.
I'm Camila Elguiata with Volunteer Manitoba. I've been with VM for about 4 years now, which has been a really, really amazing journey. But I'm the training and development manager. So I work on providing training to the nonprofit sector and working with nonprofits. And so this program coincides with that, but specifically for youth. And we'll go into that in a moment. And so I'll let Gloria now introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Gloria Makafui-Dovo, and I'm the Community Relations Coordinator with Volunteer Manitoba. So I started off just like this year, so I'm kind of like getting into the vibe and the groove. So I basically run the youth programming for Volunteer Manitoba, so I'm going to talk about this program, and it's exciting. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
What is Volunteer Manitoba? I know you mentioned a little bit about what your position, and Gloria, you mentioned what yours encompasses.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So Volunteer Manitoba is Manitoba's only volunteer center. We have been here for about 40 years. And what we do as a volunteer center is we're there to support individuals in helping them find places to volunteer, helping them get connected with their community. We also help nonprofits in recruiting those volunteers and helping them make sure that their volunteer programs are strong. And then that last piece is that general capacity building. Where can we support the sector, the nonprofit sector, and promoting volunteerism through that? So that's really what Volunteer Manitoba is here for.
Volunteering is just so much fun. With my time just putting our show on University of Manitoba's radio station, it's been so great. As well as when I was back in Winkler, I volunteered at the Canadian Fossil Discovery Center. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, I forgot the name of it.
Well, sometimes we just say acronyms, and I'm like, what does the acronym stand for?
It's so important for both of you. What attracted you to want to work at Volunteer Manitoba?
Well, really good question. Yeah. What you were just mentioning, like volunteerism is the cornerstone of what all of us do. It's how we feel like we're connected to our community. It's how we are able to address community issues, but also make friends and feel like you're a part of something. And so for me, volunteerism has played a huge part in my life in finding lifelong friends. It's helped me figure out what my career path is. It's really made me feel it's a part of who I am. And so when I saw that Volunteer Manitoba was looking for someone 4 years ago, I said, this is exactly what I need to be doing, because I embody what volunteerism is. I love what I'm able to do in my community through volunteering. So it was an easy choice for me.
Kind of like part of my being as well, like wanted to give back to my community. And also I know people in my community who are not really privileged, so trying to help out, like that's one of the key things that growing up my parents have even instilled in me. So when I also saw the position, I was like, well, this is really interesting, and I like the fact that I'm going to be working with youth, like people myself, so I get to play the role of a youth and also get to play the role of someone who was bringing the program to youth. So it's kind of multifaceted for me. And I've also experienced like amazing things through volunteerism. So for instance, me coming to University of Winnipeg, because I volunteered, I got some of my tuition cut off. So like, it just makes sense to me that this is something that, even though we are not doing it for recognition, mm-hmm. it makes me feel confident in myself personally as well. So yeah, maybe that's why I joined. Yeah. And it's been great. Yeah. Just to say that, it's been great. Yeah.
Not only are you just like volunteering, you're dipping your toes in the water, trying to get a feel for it. Like, yeah, there are benefits to it more than just those kind of warm, fuzzy feelings for helping out.
That's true. That is very true.
So speaking of youth, the new Youth Innovator Program. What is a youth innovator?
A community youth innovator is someone that has a community project that they want to get kickstarted. So our program is really looking for youth that are ages 18 to 29 that have a unique, or it doesn't even have to be unique. It has to be a community project that's addressing a community issue here in Manitoba. So if you have an idea and you don't know where to start, this is the program for you. Because what you do, or what our program is about, is taking that innovation, taking those innovative ideas and helping them actually happen. So we provide the training, we provide the support, and then we also provide some funding for you to actually do this project. So an innovator is someone that has, or a community innovator is someone that has an idea. That's really an idea to address a community issue through volunteerism.
That's the whole idea, trying to bridge the gap between a need in the community and then their innovative ideas. And also a youth has to align with a community organization or a mentor to be able to do that. And successful groups will be provided with training to equip them for the project. So we don't just throw them into the community, but equip them to be able to do it very well. And yeah, basically the passion has to be there, and then we continue from there. So basically that's who a youth innovator is.
Like Gloria said, we're kind of like a little incubator. We're gonna take you and we're gonna connect you with community members. We're gonna give you the training and we're gonna get you to actually do that community project.
Very similar to the idea of what Northforge does in terms of like technology startups.
Exactly, but it's a nonprofit one.
That's super cool.
Like we're helping you do like a little project, but in a volunteer sense.
Maybe spitballing some ideas. Let me know if this would kind of encompass in that area. Maybe starting up a local community garden for growing food in your community or at your college or university, maybe book drives or things like that for supporting a shelter or something, or maybe even creating a like single curling rink and then training people about curling. Yeah. So stuff like that.
Exactly. You got it. It's really like figuring out, and you know, sometimes when we think of volunteerism, especially being a part of the youth program, Gloria and I experience this often, is sometimes as youth, we want to change the world and we want to do everything, right? And sometimes we just need to look within our own community, because if all of us do a little portion of that, like do a food drive for a food bank, that makes a huge difference, right? That's changing the world one step at a time. So thinking of those, you know, smaller projects, the ones that you can do in your own backyard, those are the ones that make a huge impact.
Boots on the ground, getting your kind of feelers out in the community, volunteering can really help you find out, you know, what's needed, what's important. I had a conversation with North Point Douglas Women's Center the other day, and most of their programming comes directly from the community and community feedback.
Exactly. And so if you're a youth and you're trying to figure out, okay, what kind of project can I do? Think of a nonprofit that might be doing similar work that you're passionate about. So let's say you are really passionate about climate change. You can take a look and see what other organizations are doing that are directly involved in climate change activism. See what kind of programming they're doing. Because like you were mentioning, Point Douglas Women's Resource Center is doing programming specifically for the community, by the community, right? The community is telling them what kind of programming is needed. And so if you're trying to figure out what kind of project that you want to work on, looking at nonprofits and seeing what kind of projects they're doing might be able to spark that idea or expand on a program that they already are doing. It is a really good way to see how you can help the community.
Possibilities for this are endless. How did this all come to be? Why did Volunteer Manitoba want to create a project like this?
So in 2019, we decided to really focus in on youth programs that exist and how are we engaging youth. And so we surveyed the entire nonprofit sector that's doing youth programming in Manitoba. And we realized junior high and high school youth are really well equipped. There's lots and lots of programming for that age group. What we noticed is 18 to 29 year olds, because a youth is classified as 15 to 29. So what we noticed is that 18 to 29 range, there wasn't that many programming available for that age range. And we wanted to see where can we fill that gap to say, you know, volunteerism doesn't just happen in high school and when you're retired, but it happens in the in-between, and we want to be able to facilitate that. And this program is a really good way to be able to facilitate that programming that encourages volunteerism, that gets people involved and in their community, and can actually make a difference in their community.
Yeah, I think between 18 to 29, some people are out of school and all of that, so they end up getting lost in the cracks. So this program is to help people who are probably not in school as well. So it doesn't matter where you are in life, like, you could totally apply for this program. And yeah, it works out perfectly.
Yeah, so the first step is to think of a community project. We are requiring for groups to apply. Like, if you have an idea, we're looking for groups to 3 to 6 people. So you want to find other friends or colleagues that might be able to come together to put together this project. So that first part is thinking of an idea, putting a group of people together, and filling out an application form. So the application form goes over what is this community project, what issue are you addressing by doing this community project. And I know Gloria mentioned this before, but we're really looking for community projects that are working with an organization, because that's going to help that foster that connection, mentorship, and being really in tune with what the community wants and needs. And I love that you gave that example earlier, because that's really what we're looking for, is that you're going to connect with a community organization that's doing that work. So that's step one. After we receive all the applications, we're going to choose 5 to 6 groups. If you get accepted, you are going to take part in 2 days of an extensive training to make sure that you have all the skills to be able to actually do this project. And then we're going to give you the funding to execute the project. And then, so you'll have all summer, this summer that's coming up, to execute your project. So that encompasses, that's the program. It's a 4-month program. It's really good for university students that will be finishing up school or won't be taking any summer classes, if you want something to fill in that time. Or people that are, you don't have to be in university. It could be anyone that wants to take their volunteerism, I think, to the next level.
And I think for a group, say you want to form a group, you should probably also have in mind, just so someone could be a team lead, like that kind of thing, and then you apply. So as Camila said, you really need an organization. So I think now there's time. Our deadline is for January 31st, so 2022. So there is time, so you could try and connect with organizations and also connect with your friends or neighbors, people in your community who you think are passionate about similar things. And then you come together and, yeah, 3 to 6 people in each group. And who knows, you could be the next successful candidate or group. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a teamwork or team effort. So bring it on, guys.
How many slots are available for this funding?
Yeah, so depending on the scope of projects, we're really hoping to accept 5 to 6 groups into this program. There is a finite amount of groups. It doesn't mean that everyone applies gets in, but we're really hoping that the projects that come in are really you know, encompassing of what we're looking for, which is to address community issues.
Yeah, so make sure people make sure to reach out, yes, bring your ideas. Exactly. And I mean, even if you don't, if they don't, you know, get approved for this, that doesn't mean you have to stop the work in the community. Yes. You can still find other ways.
And we can help support with that. And I think, you know, us as a volunteer center is a really good place to start. So I know Gloria was mentioning you do have to find a nonprofit, and you do have some time to find that nonprofit. But you can always reach out to us to help you connect with the community. So even if you don't get accepted into the program, or you're kind of like, I have this idea, but where do I start? Come to us. We can connect you with that nonprofit. We can get your project kickstarted in many different ways.
Plus, it's a good way to just get your foot in the door, meeting with you, meeting these other groups. Like, get connected to the community. We can feel so disconnected right now during this period of time. And of course, there's restrictions and things, rules we have to follow to keep each other safe. Yeah. But meeting those people who have the boots in the ground, they're just their fingers within the community, their roots out there. There's nothing better than just feeling that sense of pride in here. And like, the more time I spent in Winnipeg, the more time I've met with various nonprofits and organizations, Winnipeg is a really special place.
Yeah,
it really is. It really is. I've been working at Volunteer Manitoba for 4 years, and every time I think I know the sector really well, I really don't. There's always new nonprofits that come up, and I'm like, what? That happens in our city? That's amazing that there's volunteers doing that work. And I work at a volunteer center, and I'm always surprised, right? Like, there's some amazing work that's happening here in our city and in our province that volunteers do.
Yeah. Yesterday, I found out about a totally new organization. I was like, wow, like, this really exists. And it's really a good, like, effort by everyone in the community. So, yeah, everyone is doing well. Considering the difficult times in which we are, everyone is really putting their best foot forward. And
sometimes it can be hard to get legislation to, you know, fill some of these cracks throughout society. Yeah. So it's really cool seeing people coming together and be like, all right, let's solve this problem together.
Yeah, that's what nonprofits do. And that's what volunteers really do. They're addressing those issues.
Where can people go to find out more information about this program?
So people could visit our website, which is www.volunteermanitoba.ca altogether. And then in case you have any further questions, you could just call us or even email us. So our phone number is 204-477-5180. And the number again is 204-477-5180. And if you have any questions, just reach out to us, and then we'll try and answer your questions. So we have all the information on our website, and also we are really looking forward to youth or teams applying as soon as possible, because our deadline is 31st of January and we're going for the holidays, so January could come very fast. So please put in your applications as soon as possible.
I'm really excited to see what can grow and develop from this, and what sort of really creative ideas the youth have for the community.
Yeah. We'll have to follow up with you in the next couple of months. Maybe we'll do like a part two, see what the projects actually are.
Yeah, and maybe even get some of the volunteers and the people on here as well. Just have a nice, fun group conference.
Yeah. That would be fun.
That would be fun. That's great.
Я раз постежі, по межі терне, і зліва я дівчино, що несла пироги. Чечула, чула, чула, чечула, чула те, і зліва я дівчино, що несла пироги. Дівча моя кохання, чи жаєш мої сни, що я тебе кохаю, і сіром пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, що я тебе кохаю, і сіром пироги.
чула, козацьки мрісне, то зразу запросила на свіжі пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, то зразу запросила на свіжі пироги. І як його діждати, що сливої пори, дівча його зелюя, а він їсть пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, дівча його зелюя, а він їсть пироги. Аж де сиді за лісу, взялися вороги, козак із переляку, сховався бур'яни. Чула, 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 чула те, козак із переляку, сховався бур'яни. А то були мислуці, ніякі вороги, заліз собі дівчину і сіром пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, заліз собі дівчину і сіром пироги. Козак гірко заплака, від тяжкі вороги, візьміть собі дівчину, вітайте пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, і зліва я дівчину, що несла пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, що я тебе питаю, і сіром пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, хто зразу запросила на свіжі пироги. Чула, 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 чула те, дівча його зелюя, а він їсть пироги.
Around Chula find another as the wild mountain time
goes around the blue man heather. Will he go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together as the wild mountain time goes around the blue man heather.
Earlier in the hour, we discussed how on this day in 1964, the U.S. Surgeon General announced a definitive link between smoking and cancer. A big step in health and safety. Another aspect of safety is having the proper information to avoid the potential hazards and dangers that come with these frosty Manitoba winters. Here's an interview that discusses the Smart Start Injury Prevention Program offered by the Canadian Red Cross.
My name is Pauline Kaur, and I'm an international student here in Canada in my final year at the University of Winnipeg. I live on my own here with my best friend, and I also do a part-time job.
So very busy, school and a job.
Yes.
So when I was talking to Jason, he was telling me about this program available at the Red Cross, and he had informed that you had gone through it. What can you tell me a little bit about this this program?
Program is called Smart Start Injury Prevention for Newcomers, and as the name suggests, it focuses on tips and safety-related issues to help immigrants, refugees, and newcomers to get ready for a living in a new province. We do PowerPoint presentations that cover topics helping them to recognize and respond to emergencies and how to prevent them at home. Some topics we cover are winter safety tips, home escape plans, fire safety, and calling 911.
And that winter safety, really prevalent right now, especially since we've had that. It was so cold outside.
Exactly, yes.
What can you tell me a little bit about this winter program? What are some things that newcomers, immigrants, and refugees need to know when they're coming to spend their first winter here in Manitoba?
What topics normally we cover under winter safety is like winter safety tips and then winter driving safety tips, because it's important to drive safely in winter as well. And then ice safety and how to dress properly in winters. Let's go with the winter safety tips. Cold weather, it puts extra strain on our heart. So seniors and people with certain chronic health conditions should not shovel snow in winter because it increases the risk of heart attack. Everybody should work slower. It's important to work slower and leave time to do errands slowly and safely. Now in winters, it takes more time to go to work. So it's important to keep in mind to leave an ample time when you go for work or you leave for something. One important point is dehydration, that's loss of water. It can happen in cold weather, so it is important to drink lots of fluids, especially water. If you get headaches, dizzy or nausea, you might be dehydrated and need to drink some water. Warm water is nice to drink in the winter time. Like, remember that tea, coffee, and hot chocolate, they might be tastier, but they contain caffeine, which does not hydrate like water does. So it's important to drink water. Two very important things about winter here is hypothermia and frostnip. Now, hypothermia is the loss of body heat, and frostnip, it's a mild form of frostbite. So frostnip is where only the skin freezes. 50% of our body's heat is lost through head and neck. So wearing a hat and a scarf during Manitoba winters may prevent hypothermia and frostbite on ears and noses. Ears and nose, they are very sensitive. So it's important to cover them properly when we go out. It's wise to dress in layers. Toques are better than earmuffs or a headband. Mittens keep your hand warm than gloves, but you can wear them together. Like what I normally do is wear gloves and then I put mittens on them. This way my hands, they stay warm.
That's smart.
And winter boots. They should also have a good traction to keep from falling. Now some boots, they might look good, but it's important that they have a good grip so that you can walk safely on snow. Sunglasses can prevent snow blindness or headaches. Some people might not realize that they need sunglasses, but they kind of are important. A word that we hear here in weather forecast is wind chill. This means that the wind is decreasing the temperature. It might be minus 20 outside, but because of wind, it feels colder. So to the average person, and there is a greater risk of frostbite and hypothermia. So it's important whenever you check temperature before going outside, it's important to check the wind chill factor as well, because that can lead to the temperature decreasing more than we expect. Let's dive into winter driving safety tips now.
Yeah, winter driving. You were mentioning sunglasses. That is so appropriate when driving, especially on a sunny day. I can't remember how many times I've been going down the highway and I'm just blinded because it's just a mirror.
Exactly. It's important to use sunglasses, or you can use sun visors as well in your cars. It same goes for the driving. It takes longer to stop on snow covered or icy roads. So it's important to reduce your speed and leave ample distance between your vehicle and the one that is in front of you. You should allow extra travel time to your destination and extra time and space to change lanes and turn safely. Normally, if you leave 15 minutes before your work, leave 30 minutes before your work. Maintain your vehicle. It's very important. Get regular tune-ups, check your fluid levels and the tires. About clearing snow from windows. When clearing snow from windows, one should not just clear from the front ones. You should scrape ice off windows and roof as well, because that is important for the cars driving ahead and beside of you or behind you, because the snow can fly up to their windows and that would not be safe for them. So it's important that you scrape ice of all the surfaces on your car.
Yeah, I can't remember how many times driving down right after a major snowstorm, and you just see people with a good like layer on the top and like hood of their car, and it's like, buddy, come on.
You need to clear that off because it's unsafe for the cars that are driving around you. And now when we talk about clearing snow, it's going to be cold outside. So it's important to keep a pair of extra gloves, socks, scarf, and toque in your car as well. Be prepared for any kind of emergencies. You might feel that, well, it's not that cold. I do not need those. That's okay. Do not do that. Always keep an extra pair with you for emergencies. You might have to step out of your vehicle. It could be very cold when you're returning from somewhere and you have to clear the snow off. So it's important that your hands are warm, your nose and ears, they're covered.
It can change so fast. You can go outside for like maybe a minute or two and you're like, oh, it's not so bad outside.
Exactly.
But when that wind hits you, when that wind hits you, you're like, oh, I've made a mistake.
I should have brought that. I should have brought that jacket. I should have brought that scarf. It always happens. Even when you're going, even like if you're walking somewhere, it's no harm. Carry a bag if you don't think that it's cold enough right now. But carry a bag and carry your gloves and toques and scarves in that so that when you're returning, maybe it's nighttime and it gets cold. So you need to cover yourself properly.
Some advice I've been given for specifically highway driving in winter is making sure that you have kind of, the term is bug out bag, but just a supply, a supply kit. So like extra blankets, if you get stuck on the side of the road, it's gonna get cold. Your your car's not gonna stay the whole time. So you're gonna wanna make sure to have a shovel, just to maybe dig yourself out, extra coverings and things. I've heard suggestions of water and snacks, just in case you're out there for a long period of time, and a candle, just or a couple candles, just to keep it a little bit warmer than it would be just a freezer box.
that's exactly actually what we discuss as well. We have a topic especially for emergency preparedness kits that one should keep in their cars and in their homes whenever a situation like this happens. And if you get stuck or stranded in your car, do not panic. Stay with your vehicle for safety and warmth. And call for help.
Yeah, that should be another thing. Make sure whenever you're going on a long journey to make sure your cell phone or a communication device is fully charged before you head out. I don't know how many times I've been in the middle of the highway. Luckily, nothing bad's happened, but my phone has been completely dead.
You should always keep supplies with you in the car. One tip that I always give people who come, even my friends or someone I meet who are new here and they are shopping for winter clothes or boots, I always tell them to get one size bigger than their normal size for boots so that you can wear two socks or wear thick socks, and there should be enough space in your shoe to wiggle your toes. It's important that your toes, they keep on moving and they're not stuck at one place, because then there's a greater risk of frost nip or frostbite over there. So get a pair bigger so that you can layer it properly.
When you spent your first winter here, what were some of the things that caught you off guard?
One most important thing was denims. Denims, jeans, they do not help in winters. Do not just rely on jeans. You need to wear something below or something on top whenever you're wearing jeans and you're outside in December or January. So that was one thing. But fortunately, because of this program, I was aware of that thing. And I joined this program in October, November. And so it was just on time because the winters were coming and it was going to be my first winter in Winnipeg. So that it really helped me to get prepared. And one more thing was not buying earmuffs. Even though if I would wear a toque or a cap, my ears are very sensitive. So this still would get some little redness and swelling. So I bought earmuffs quite late, but I wish I had them earlier. So get your earmuffs and do not rely on denims, jeans.
Yeah, yeah. Like a trick is wearing long johns underneath your pants. I think you can just get those at like any sort of clothing store, like a Walmart or a superstore or things like that. You can just grab those. You can also get... I think they're called slush pants that just help kind of repel water and moisture to help keep you warm, because if you get wet in winter, it just soaks you down to the bone and it gets pretty cold.
And that reminds me of not buying a raincoat. That was one of the important things that I missed on. I did not get a raincoat and I would get stuck in rain a lot of times. So it's not just snow here, it's rain as well. So get your raincoats as well.
The weather in Manitoba can be all over the place. Super cold in winter. I mean, the next day it can be really nice and everything is just wet and then it freezes overnight and it's icy again. Or like in the springtime, cold, nice, rain. And then even in the summer, it's just like super, super, super hot and muggy and then crazy rain and thunderstorms.
You just cannot trust. You just cannot go outside of your home without checking the temperature first. This is how it is in Winnipeg. What can we say?
And I think it's so good, like, for this program, helping teach people about, you know, safety for driving and just keeping warm and safe during winter, because there's so many cool things in Winnipeg to check out during the winter. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, warm and comfortable so you can enjoy those.
This helped me, and I'm sure we help a lot of newcomers and immigrants who come to Winnipeg, and it's like, well, we're going to prepare you how you're going to live in the winter now. So it's amazing. And about ice safety, it's important to stay away from rivers, lakes, and ponds. The thickness of ice is very inconsistent and it cannot be trusted. So the situation is made more dangerous when snow hides the ice, or there has been warm weather and then cold weather. Even if you see other people out on the ice, assess the situation yourself. When the conditions are questionable, stay off the ice and follow the signs when you see them. Just like you said, like, people like to go outside in winters and they want to enjoy ice and snow. There are places in Winnipeg that are safe for skating or walking on the rivers. Like, one place is the Folks Skating Park. Mm-hmm. Because it has staff every day who checks the thickness of the ice, and it may be thick enough there, but not further down the river. Parks like Central Park, Assiniboine Park, St. Vital Park, they have been checking their ice too. So the safest place to skate is at the community center near your home. It's important to check with experts that you're aware about the thickness of the ice and if it is safe for you to go.
Mm-hmm.
One more important point about ice is that remember that ice can be safe for one or two person, but not a large group. So when you're in a group and you're walking on ice, it's always safer to walk in a line with spaces between you. If you see someone who is falling through the ice, the safest way for you to help is in this situation is to call for help or call 911, because those people, they're specifically trained to help them. Ice rescues. They are firefighters and police officers, and they have extra training, so they are trained. It's important for you to be safe yourself and then call for help for them.
And then it's just following those steps, making sure you're going to those designated locations that have been checked and have been approved for those recreational activities.
Yeah, and if you're going, it's good to go with someone. Go with your friends. If you're going alone, make sure you have someone who you are in touch with, just in case you have any questions and you have any problem. It's good to ask questions instead of doing things when it's the first time, right?
So it's been great chatting with you, super informative. Where can people go to find out more information about this program at the Red Cross?
They can check out the website, www.redcross.ca/smartstartprogram. And we have all the details up there and everything. And we organizations can actually request us for presentations as well for their teams.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Hopefully this information can help make people have a safe and fun winter season.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Everyone, stay together, stay warm.
Kila maduva nangu na tangola kanji vananguigwa mama nangu apa ne tangola kanji vanavo mekunguigwa hello nangu ni katangola vanado kususidone nangu apa nalatanga kanji mene nangu nalatanga siro tangola vinu tu manguigwe vanangu na tangola kandi vanamu mekunguigwa kanje vanava katangola nangu na vigwa nangu mokutandela na manye shino iyelele mama wo wo iyelele mama nene
Sacrenice cocopat, Marusia, la 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 la.
Want to hear more stories? Tune into 101.5 FM every Tuesday at 1 p.m. for U-Talk. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U-Talk. And have yourself a good one.